me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Brother Chris, can you want to help me this evening? You can bring it with you. Amen.
Glory.
I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn. It makes when the Lord has his way. Praise my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were scarlet, they were white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has his way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in his presence I stand above, he will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I thank him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the skies. I've been changed, I've been
God has been changed. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise Him. You have a special this evening? Amen. Thank Him for grace. That's all I'm saying, see. We're going to change over the service. I'm not forgetting. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. Your power and love. sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
I hope you all are happy. Amen. Amen. And it's been staying warm. It's good to be back in familiar pulpit.
Amen.
And to preach in English.
Amen.
As well. Amen. I mean, I can preach in Spanish, but you know, it takes for you to kind of get things going, you know, kind of crank things because, you know, you're used to ministry. Unless, you know, the times that we go out and minister different little places here in Spanish, but it can take. And then sometimes they say, well, brother, you can preach in Spanish good, right? Yeah, just give me a service or two, and then I can get things going, you know. So, but we just thank God for watching over us, and we appreciate each and every one of your prayers as well for our trip. I believe God blessed us, and the people were blessed as well. And we couldn't do it without your prayers and, of course, your support in every way. And we just thank you all very much. Also, I want to thank you, each and every one of you, for your Christmas gifts as well. Some of you all gave Christmas gifts, and we appreciate that.
Amen.
And God bless you all richly for those. Amen. And so, we're going to go ahead and go to the Word this morning, this evening. And, you know, I'm not good about preliminaries and things, so let's just go ahead and go to the Word, and let's just bow our heads this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to come together, Lord. This evening, Father, it may be cold outside, Lord, but Father God, you're the one that gives us the warmth, Lord. And warmth, Father, spiritual warmth, Lord. Father God, if our soul is right and eternally bound, Lord God, Lord Jesus, the outside elements don't matter, Father God, because, Lord, we're safe under your wings, Father. And so, Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would have your way with us this evening. Help us to receive something from your word, Father God, that would give us courage, Lord, that would encourage us, Father, to move forward, Lord Jesus. We're here, Father God, embarking another year ahead of us, if it be your will, Lord. And Father God, we just ask, Father God, that you would help us, Lord, to prepare ourselves, Lord Jesus. For Father, we don't know what's ahead, but Lord, you do, Lord. And if we could just put confidence in you and put our trust in you, Father God, then Lord, everything else will take care of itself. Father God, we love you, and we ask, Father, for forgiveness for our sins. And cleanse us, Lord, from all of our iniquities. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with those that are sick this evening. We remember Brother Aaron, Lord, and pray that you would just touch his body, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord God. I certainly understand, Lord, how he's feeling. And I just ask that you would just bless him, Lord, and strengthen his body, Lord. And also, Lord, you just continue to be with Brother Dale as well, Lord God, and continue to be with Nanny there, Lord Jesus. And we just ask that you would just have a special touch for our brother, Lord God, we ask. We commit ourselves now into you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And very familiar scripture, but I want to, and I did not give him these scriptures, so I do apologize back there, but that's why we should have our Bibles. Always have your Bibles. Don't depend on that thing all the time. It's like Brother Chris Long says, I want to hear pages turn. What happened to that sound? Because we're 202 dependent on those screens. Sorry, it starts with a rebuke already. So, let's Joshua chapter 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I want you to just put your name in that scripture right there. I will not forsake Sister June. I will not forsake Brother Wade. I will not forsake Brother Don. I will not forsake Sister Susan. I will not forsake Brother George. Put yourself in that scripture, amen? Because that wasn't just for Joshua. It was for you personally. Amen. Do you believe that all the Word of God is for you? Amen. It wasn't just for the Israelites or some sort of historical thing that we just, something history. But it's something personal to you. And then when you put yourself in that scripture, amen, it brings new life to it. You see, because God is an ever-present God, amen? He's a God of now, not just the God of yesterday, not just the God of the future, but he's a God of now, amen? And he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble, amen? Praise God. And then I want to finish here with this scripture, and then you can have your seats. It says, be strong and of good courage, verse 6, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated this evening. Amen. Continuing here verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He tells them again, only be thou strong and very courageous. Amen. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Amen. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For even thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee? So he's telling them again. And I think this is about the third time. He said, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Amen. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. So then that's the key verse I wanted to finish off there with. So, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I believe it's what God wants us to have. Amen. And this applies to not just only in good times. Amen. But it applies in the bad times as well. That's when courage really shines. Amen. That's when it really pays to have courage. Amen. And so if I just wanted to give it a little title tonight, is be strong and of good courage. Amen. Be strong and of good courage. Amen. We want to welcome our visitors here tonight. God bless you, brother. Good to have you with us. Amen. And so we just appreciate what the Lord gives us. Amen. Through his word. Amen. Amen. So we notice here that in Joshua was already an older man when God told him to do this. Amen. We know that he was with Moses, walking with Moses and following his message. Amen. And he came to a point, amen, that it was time for him to lead the children of Israel forward. Amen. And so I'm sure that for Joshua, it was a scary task, but he had seen what God did through Moses. Amen. And so as God was with Moses, Joshua knew that he had to be with him as well if he was to take the children of Israel over to the promised land, right? Because why? God had already made the promise. And so the promise was for them. And God, he knew that God was one that cannot lie.
Right, right.
So if God made the promise to them many years ago, then God was going to fulfill that promise. And it was about that time. It was that promise was about to be fulfilled. And Joshua didn't have any doubt whatsoever that God was able to fulfill his promise. Amen. It's just like us, amen, in this hour. I believe that we're in the end time. And this, I don't know how you feel about it. I the world is going insane.
Amen.
And we are in it. We feel it's an anointing that's upon the hour. That if you don't know that we are living in those times, amen, then you're not seeing things the way, right? You love this world too much, amen? We should be preparing to go out, get out of here, amen? And it's just like Joshua right here. He was preparing himself, and the people were preparing themselves for something, because it was time for God's promise to be fulfilled, just like it's time for his promise to be fulfilled in your life, amen? He promised us a body change. We're on the verge of seeing that, amen? He promised us that we would see our loved ones, amen, resurrected, those that have gone before us, amen. We know that that's in the scripture. That's got to be fulfilled, because it hasn't been fulfilled yet, amen. We're on the cusp of that, amen. Things are shaping up around the world. Things are shaping up, amen, to get you to the point, amen, where you're going to see your loved ones, amen. And from then on, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and meet him in the air. Praise the Lord. That's not a story. That's in the Word. And if you believe the Word, amen, God can't lie. He's going to fulfill his Word, amen. Because as he promised Abraham many years back, amen, he was going to be with Joshua, amen, as they crossed over to the promised land. So is it going to be for us when we cross over into that promised land? We know that we're in the promised land, amen. The promised land is this word, the life in the Holy Ghost, amen, this message that we believe, amen. Praise God. But Joshua was an older man. You know? They say that Colonel Sanders was he built KFC when he was an older man, and look at the empire that it is now. And some will fight you. I prefer KFC over Popeyes, and Popeyes over KFC. But when the man is whatever you want, chicken is chicken to me. It just depends on how it's fried. That's what I'm more concerned about. What kind of oil is being used? But anyways. but that man built that restaurant when he was an older man, you see? And so now sometimes we think that the Lord can't use us now that we're older, but you know what? God likes for there to be some maturity there. Amen. God likes for there to be some maturity, but we know that in the scriptures there's also young people that were used as well. Look at little David and Mary when she had God used her as a teenager to give her the promise to fulfill something that was not even had not even happened in the world before for a virgin to conceive. That had never happened before, and it was strange, but it happened in Mary's life, and she was only about 16 or 17 years old. So you see, God can use whatever he wants to use, or whoever, however how old they are. It's just if they're willing vessels. Amen. And Joshua was a willing vessel. Amen. And that's what we want to be, just willing vessels. Now, the word courage, this is what it means. It means it's the ability to act on what we know is right and good. Amen. And also to dare to do what we should or must. All right. In the hour that we're living in, many people, we know that there's a lot of people that show and they act like they're showing courage. But in reality, many don't even know what they believe. They don't understand what they stand for. And therefore, they fall for anything. And when you don't have a goal, when you don't understand what you believe in this hour,
right.
Amen, you are susceptible to fall for whatever comes at you.
Right.
It's a sad situation, amen, because there are young people and even us adults, if we're not careful, we're bombarded by every angle. Yeah, right. Satan has got extra guns pointed at the believer. Amen. In this hour. Right. More than any other time.
Amen.
Because we have access to all kinds of information now. And so one day we feel good with this particular type of information and we get to binging on that. Oh man, this is good. This is new. And then finally we just get bored of that. And we go to the next thing to binge on. Oh man, yeah. I love it. Like, oh man, this is great. This is awesome. No, nothing can beat this, but again, that eventually gets old. So then you go to the next thing. And you're not getting satisfaction. Because it has, if it has nothing to do with the Word of God, it does not bring you satisfaction. It brings you temporal pleasure, and it brings you information, but it doesn't give you that full satisfaction that you really desire, that every man is really desiring. See, each and every one of us was born with a thirst. How many believe that? You were born with a thirst for God. Right? But Satan has come in and perverted that in your life.
Yeah.
And he'll pervert it with basketball. And he'll pervert it with video games. And he'll pervert it with hentai and anime. He'll pervert it with anything.
Right.
And it doesn't fulfill your life.
Right.
He'll come in with you with cars. But Brother Don, you know that doesn't fulfill. Actually probably makes you frustrated more sometimes. he'll try to give you anything, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but do not allow those things to replace God in your life. Because God, you were made to worship God. And here comes Satan. He wants to be worshiped as well. So he'll pervert that worship. And you're not praising, you're not bowing at the altar of a hoofed horn a beast like they portray Satan. No, that's not what Satan does. He'll just allow things in your life to take the place of God. All right? He'll allow things in your life to take the place of God. Amen. Now, what is the opposite of courage? It's fear. Amen. That's the opposite of courage, amen. So if you don't have courage, amen, then the only thing that's there is fear. And fear is a tormentor. Amen. Fear, amen, will make you bite your nails down all the way down to the skin, and then you're wondering why is it stinging? It's because you have bitten your nails down, you're so afraid of things that have not even happened yet. Right? I've been there. Amen. But when we put our confidence in the Word of God and just encourage ourselves through the Word,
amen.
Let God speak to you and let him give you that courage, amen, to move forward, amen. Then things are different, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because fear paralyzes you, amen.
Absolutely.
Fear paralyzes you, but courage, amen, helps us move ahead. Amen. Fear is a paralyzer. Fear. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to paralyze your walk with Christ.
Yeah, right.
Amen. He wants to paralyze you to just sit there and sulk in your situation or in the way you feel. When there's more out there here for you. Amen. But he wants you to just sit right there in your bubble and sulk in your situation. And he knows that there's more out there for you and that you're capable of more. Therefore, that's the reason why he has you paralyzed. He paralyzes you with fear. Amen? Amen. Fear makes you ineffective as well.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. Fear causes you to be ineffective. Amen. When you know that you're capable of doing something, you know, I remember one time, and this is a strange example, but I remember when I was 11, I was about 10 years old. We had gone to Six Flags for the first time, and I had never been to Six Flags before, and I had just been to the States for maybe 3 years. But we went to Six Flags, and I saw the rides down there in Atlanta. I don't even know how we even got there either. We were living in South Carolina at the time because my dad didn't know the roads and the highways that well or anything. But we got there, so no GPS or anything.
Yeah.
And from Greenville, South Carolina to Six Flags, I think, is about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, sure.
So we got there, and there was this one ride. Do you remember the ride where it's a boat that goes down like this and splashes everybody? So my parents and my dad and my sisters, they were trying to get me to get on that. And I was like, I ain't getting on that. No. And they tried to get me on there, and I saw that they were just happy, just getting it. They got in the line, and they had a good time. All I got was wet.
Yeah.
Not from riding on the thing, but from the splash.
Yeah.
I said, I'm never getting on that thing. Well, about 3 years later, we went back to Six Flags. And I grew up a little bit more. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get on that thing. And it wasn't as bad as I had made it out to be 3 years prior. You see? I made it. And I actually went on it multiple times. Came out really soaked.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Amen.
So it is how it is in life as well, you see?
Right.
Sometimes we're fearful about what should we do, or if I should really go that route. But if sometimes we don't know what the will of God is for our life unless we go ahead and take the plunge.
Right?
Because sometimes we're waiting for God to give us an audible yes, do it. And he doesn't do that all the time. He may do that, but he doesn't do that. For the majority of us, that doesn't happen. So what it is that you have to, if it's scriptural, all right, there's a test. If it's scriptural, that passes that test, okay? And then if you continue to feel that pull, then plunge forward. As you're doing that, as then the Lord will show you. If you fail, then we know it wasn't the will of the Lord. If it fails, if we know it wasn't the will of the Lord for you. But if it succeeds, then keep moving forward. But sometimes we have to take, but it takes courage to do that. Courage in the word, right? You know, I remember one time in Honduras, and I'll pull if the brothers can bring up the my phone here. I'm going to show a quick video real quick, being that I'm going to give a little report on our missions trip, but I wanted to show this real quick. This right here, this was 2 years ago. When we had trekked up in the mountain, and I was on horseback, about 4 hours trekking up on that mountain to just go preach to some believers up there. And this is just one part of the, let me just go back. One part of what we were trying to trek. Some of it was even steeper than that. And they told me, they said, you want to ride on horseback or you want to walk? I said, well, let me try riding on horseback because riding horses isn't an everyday thing for me. So let me just go ahead and get on the horse. Well, that's the majority of the road right there on the edge of a mountain as we're going up the whole time. And I said, how is this horse going to get through all these rocks and stuff? But that horse had been through that route many, 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 many times, up and down that mountain. And that's Brother Juan right there. And we'll go ahead and pause it. So what I did, I said, I had to just take courage and just get on that horse. and just say, Lord, it's like that horse was God. And the reins, I'm holding on to the reins, it's like the word. Right? And I'll just let that horse just take me where it needs to. And that horse got me up there. I drove that thing. I was riding on that horse for about 45 minutes until I had to get off because it was really hurting my legs. I walked the rest of the way. But I did not know. There was many times where that horse was like, how he would just jerk me back like that, and I would just hold on. But he knew how to get up there. All right, and it's just how God is. God's been this way before. God's been you. Amen. He understands being a teenager. He understands being you as a human being. And he's given us his word. So all we got to do is just hold on to that word. The word says it. Amen. I believe it. Amen. And just let the word guide us and lead us to the top. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Because he has the answers. He knows the way. But you know what? It takes courage to do that. It takes courage for you to have faith in his word. Amen. You can cut that off for now, brothers. Amen. So that was what I had to do to conquer that fear. It's just get on the horse and let the horse do its thing. Amen. Praise God. Now, Isaiah 41 says this, 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Amen. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. Amen. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Amen. Amen. And how many know that Jesus Christ is victorious? Amen. Amen. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered it all. And if you're part of him, if you're in Christ, amen, and he's in you, then all that's been conquered for you already. You have the mighty conqueror within you. Praise God. So why fear death? Why fear the grave? Why fear all these things? Why fear the things that are coming ahead, you know, because I don't know what's coming ahead. But why fear it? When he's already conquered everything. Otherwise, you know, his death and the burial and his resurrection and all of that was in vain if he didn't conquer death, hell, and the grave. And he stood up victorious and he said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and on earth. Amen. And you're part of that.
Amen.
You're part of that. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So let me ask you all a question. Where do we get this courage to go on? Amen. When life seems so hard and problems come to your life, where do we get this courage? Not where do we get discouraged.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But where do we get the courage
Amen.
To move on?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And it's the only place to get it is the word.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, mom and dad can only do so much. Your brother can only do so much. The pastor at the church can only do so much. Amen. David said, I had to encourage myself in the Lord. When he was being chased by Saul, the king, King Saul. Amen. After David, when David, all he was trying to do was help him, would play music for him because Saul was demon possessed. Right, and then when he would play the music, he was there at rest. And then all of a sudden, that left Saul, and next thing you know, there's a javelin thrown at him. And all David could do was say, "I can only encourage myself in the Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening to the king, but the only thing I can do is encourage myself in God." Same thing when his son, amen, Absalom, raised up against him. And he was running from his own son. Amen. Taking the throne from David. The only thing he could do is encourage himself in God. And that's all we can do in this hour. You know, that was one of the things that helped me a lot during the time, you know, when COVID hit and all that. You know, because I look at the big picture of things, and I didn't know what was going on, and so the only thing I could do was just look to the Word,
right,
and say, Lord, you're the one who has control of what's going on in the world.
Right.
I don't, and I don't have anybody to give me answers, but you have the answer, and you have, amen. And you have exactly because you know the beginning from the end.
Amen.
And you know that lifts something from you. It lifts that burden off of you. It lifts that fear from you. That lets you know everything's going to be okay. Because even if I have to go by the grave, I'm still a winner. even if I have to go to the other side, I'm still a winner. Amen. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, true courage comes from God's word. And courage is not confidence in your own strength, but confidence in God's strength.
Right.
which is his word. Amen. That is the strength giver. Amen. That is the strength giver. Praise the Lord. Sometimes God will remove things from our life automatically. You know? But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he knows that that's what you need to keep you humble. All right? Paul had a little thorn in his flesh that he asked God multiple times to take it away from him. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Just trust in my grace. And where do we find his grace? In his word. Trust in God's grace. That'll help you through. But he won't take things away from us when he knows that that thing is keeping us humble. Amen. In your life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit, it gives us the boldness, amen, to move forward. You see, the disciples, amen, they went to the upper room. They were scared after Jesus died, right? They were scared of the Jews. They knew that the Jews knew that they had been with Jesus, and they were scared. They didn't even want to go out, amen. But once they got the Holy Ghost, amen, they threw open the windows, flung open the doors, and preached the word. Amen. They got boldness, right? They got courage to do that. Amen. So courage comes from the word. And what is the word? The word is life. Amen. The word gives you life. Amen. To move forward, to plunge ahead when you don't want to, or when you feel like you can't. Amen. It gives you that. It's a motivator. And so that's what Peter had to have. And because of his sermon, amen, 3,000 were added to the kingdom that day. Amen. A few days before that, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't dare do that. Right? He was still there with the fear of having denied Jesus and all of that. Still probably Satan still using that, bombarding him in his head, even though Jesus had already appeared to them in the shore. And cooked fish with them, and ate fish, and did all of that with them. But Satan's probably still bombarding them with fear and torment and condemnation. But when that Holy Ghost came in, it was different then. Amen. When you have an experience with God, amen, it's different then. You're not afraid what the world says. You're not afraid what your friends say. You're not afraid what whatever may think, amen. You go in, amen, because the word is backing you up. Amen. And when the word backs you up, amen, then no devil in hell, amen, can come against you. They can come against you, but they can't defeat you because they've been defeated. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this one's here for our young people. Amen. How do you find the courage to stand firm on your convictions? Amen. You know, it was one of the things that we were dealing with, and Brother Aaron shared it on Sunday, we were trying to, at the youth camp there in Honduras, we were trying to help our young people to understand and to know what they believe. Right? Some of us do not understand what we believe. And if you don't understand what we believe, then Satan will just pull all kinds of things around you. And so we were trying to say, why do we believe that God sent a prophet? Why do we believe that baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is scriptural? Why? Give us a reason. Amen. What does Malachi chapter 4, amen, verses 4, 5, and 6, what is that? What is that? What is Revelations 10:7? All those foundational message things. Amen. And some of them, you know, you would ask the questions and they did not know the answers. Foundational message things. They did not know the answers. So there's still a lot of work to do. But you know what? We can't all do it. I can't give you all the answers, and I can't go over there and pump them in your head. And it takes a relationship between you and God. It takes a desire for you to want to know more about the word. Then you will be able to understand what the word is about. Amen. But in Esther chapter 3, verse 2, it says, but Mordecai refused to bow down or show Haman respect. Amen. I like that story. Amen. He defied Haman because Haman just didn't like Haman's his intentions. You see, and so Mordecai wasn't afraid of what Haman could do to him or what he was defying. Amen. What he was because he was against God. You see, so. It takes courage, amen, to stand firm on what you believe. If somebody asks you, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? Amen. Have courage to tell them why, if you know why. But then also have courage to tell them, if you don't know, then I don't know, but I could take you to someone that might know. Tell them that. Give them my phone number. Brother Wade would love to have his phone number passed out, you know. Same thing with Brother Bob. Because you know what? There's people that really want to know. And if you don't know, if you don't feel like comfortable about explaining your faith to people, well, you first of all, you have to work on that. You need to know what you believe. All right? I encourage each one of us, not just our young people, each one of you to know what you stand for. But then if you don't really know, then say, okay, I know someone that can help you. Here's their phone number. And if you're really interested, they'll call. Right? And we will do whatever we can to help, you see? Sometimes, you know, we get busy and things, and then we just try to do what we can, you see? But if somebody wants to know about the Lord, amen, that's missionary work within within America. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
You're not... If you're more concerned about what others think than about what God thinks, then... You're going to lack courage.
Yep, right.
You're going to lack courage, and you're going to be wishy-washy.
Right.
You're going to be wishy-washy in what you're standing for. And imagine if Joshua was wishy-washy. They would have never crossed over to that promised land.
Right.
Amen. But Joshua had to know that he knew that God was with him.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Then he was able to forge ahead. Amen. Now, there's a question, too. Are there consequences with having courage? And the answer is yes. There's good consequences, but sometimes there's bad consequences as well. Amen. We could take, for example, in Daniel. Amen. The three Hebrew children that were delivered. Right? They had courage to stand against the proclamation of the king. Who said, if you don't bow down to my image, amen, then you're going to be sent into a burning oven that's burning seven times hotter. But they defied that proclamation. They said, we're not bowing down to you. We only bow down to God. And God stood for that courage. God stood for them for standing, amen, for him. Amen. So don't be afraid to stand for him because he'll stand for you at the day of judgment. Amen. He'll stand for you when you stand for him.
Right.
He's already stood for you.
That's right.
He was hanging naked on a cross, spit upon, a beard half all yanked out, blood dripping down. He looked like hamburger meat. Stand on the cross for you, and he wasn't the way the Catholics portray him on a cross. He didn't have a clout over him. He was fully naked. What a shameful thing that our Lord, the God of heaven, Creator of heaven and earth, amen, stood that for you. And you can't stand for him. Amen. In front of this world out here.
Amen.
You're afraid and you put other things ahead of God because you think those things are more important. Whatever it is, boys or things in your life, amen. God is more important. Football, whatever it is. Amen. That's not going to save you in the long run. Amen. But standing for God's word will. Amen. Standing for his word will. Amen. It worked for the three Hebrew children. It'll work for you in this day and hour that we're living in. Amen. But you know, Jesus, he stood for what's right. But it caused him his death. He had courage to do so, but it caused him his death. Amen. The disciples, they stood for what was right. And you can see each one of them got heads chopped off and they got martyred for standing for the word. Amen. But were they losers in the end? They were not losers in the end. Amen. Praise God. The Christian martyrs that we read about in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, amen, they stood for what's right. They had courage to stand, amen, when there was lions that were loosed upon them in their arena, and people were watching them and laughing and making sport of them. And they're sitting there with their children. You've seen the pictures with their children and just hugging them and just looking up to God and say, Lord, you can deliver us from this, but if you don't, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bow to that the Catholic proclamations. Amen. Amen. Do we have that boldness in this hour? Amen. Do we have that courage? Amen. But that courage comes from the Word. Amen. Standing up for what's right can get you in trouble with corrupt people. It can get you in trouble with the government. It can get you in trouble on YouTube if you have a YouTube channel. It can get you in trouble with on social media. It can get you in trouble on Facebook. It can get you in trouble, amen, standing up for what's right.
Amen.
Amen. But I'd rather, amen, get in trouble, amen, with man for standing up what's right than be in trouble with God in the at the end time.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather that 10 times, 100 times over. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, don't be afraid of man that can destroy just the body. But fear God that can destroy the body and the soul.
Right,
and the soul is what's supposed to live eternally.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
And so when you stand for God, He stands for you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Joshua 1:9 again. And then with this, I'll finish so we can. And it says here, have not I commanded thee, be strong.
Yeah.
Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid in 2024. Amen.
Exactly.
Neither be thou dismayed.
Amen.
Right. Amen. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I put my name personally on that.
Amen.
And I hope that you do as well.
Yes.
No matter what age. Amen.
Right.
Whithersoever thou goest.
Yes.
Amen. God is with you because He promised that He would.
Yes,
he Amen. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. He didn't give us the trials that we were going to be in. He didn't explain or write them down for us. This is what's going to happen to you. No, He just said, I'll be with you. That's all He said. And so that's all that matters to me. That's all that counts. Amen. Because He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. You love the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's look here at a couple of pictures. If the brothers can bring up my phone here again. Now, remember, before we left, and some of you all who were there on the service, when we were here, the last service before we left to Honduras, Brother Wade was praying. We was praying, and he said, "We want to see miracles. We want to hear about miracles." Well, we got some miracles too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And it was God. God did. Amen. And actually, it was things that even the Lord has been doing in the last 2 years that we didn't even know about.
Amen.
So we'll explain that here in just a moment.
Amen.
But but y'all can see this. Okay, we'll just do the best here that we can. This is I'm not going to give everything. Brother Aaron did a great job on Sunday in explaining what we did when I was with him, and I appreciate his accolades because I wasn't expecting none of that. But I appreciate that, Brother Aaron, if you're listening. It's just the Lord, you know.
Amen.
The Lord's the one that's on time, and I give Him the glory. You
Amen.
See, But if it blessed him, then I'm thankful that
Amen.
My brother was blessed.
Right.
And it was a privilege to work with Brother Aaron as well.
Amen.
He's not a complainer. And I could take him to Honduras again anytime. He'll eat what's in front of him. At least he'll try.
Amen.
He'll try it. And if he doesn't like it, he'll at least eat a little portion of it and say, Brother Aaron, you don't want to? No, it's fine. I don't
yeah.
Okay, well, I give you props because you tried. Some people don't even try what's given them, and they don't realize what's that it's good. They don't even want to try it. But I give them the props to do so. Brother Bob did the same thing as well in Nicaragua. So that's good. That's good. I was always told, I'm not going to say something's bad if I've never tried it. I don't care what it looks like. I can't say that. You can't. You really can't. You have to try it. And then you realize, man, that's better than the cheeseburgers I eat here in America. All right. Anyways, this is so when we in Alto Pino, the mountain range where we were at, where we were about over 5,000 feet in elevation, at the church that we were visiting at over there, we had to walk. You drive about 10 minutes to a specific point, and then from there, there's no way to get into the church, and you have to walk about 15 minutes to, and you're like on the edge of the mountain. Walking the route throughout the to get to church. So here we are, and there's Michael right there. We're carrying equipment for the sound, and so there's some little treacherous areas, but that's how they get to church. And I was surprised because older ladies are walking this route. Older man and that's how they get to church. Now the reason why I'm showing this is because when we got there, this was a sister that was there at the church. How old is she, sweetheart? 76. Sister Nicolasa is her name. The night before, I had preached at her house. We had a service at her house, and I had ministered in her house, and I did not know. I preached a faith building message to them, but I did not know that she had 2 years prior she had a problem with her hip, and her leg it broke. Her hip had broken, but then in that transition of her hip had been broken, she also had gotten a it was an ulcer down on the same leg. And so she was battling with that. But then one day when she got diagnosed with that at the doctor's office, this is the testimony she was telling me. She said that the doctor said that you have this. And she told the doctor, she said, I refuse to have that. I refuse it. And amen. So she went home and she just have faith in God, trusting in God. Well, sometime later, she went back to the doctor, and the doctor told her she was much better. Like, you know, she had gotten much better. Everything was healing up faster than what the doctor was expecting it for. The doctor wasn't even giving her hopes about that leg. He told her that you're not going to be able to walk. You're not going to be able to walk at all on that leg anymore, so you're just going to have to use either crutches or be pushed on a wheelchair. But she refused that. And so the doctor was so impressed with her, with what she had, you know, how good she had gotten, that the doctor said, well, I don't know what had happened, but if it's something that has to do with the Lord, why don't you pray for me? I need for you to pray for me. And so the doctor asked her to pray for him. And I thought that was incredible. Well, 2 years had passed that she could not walk that path to go to church, 15 minutes. But when we got there that morning, she was the first one there. That was the first time that she had gone to church in 2 years. And she went by herself. There was a little boy. I think it was one of her nephews that helped her. I think he was like 10, 11 years old maybe. He was there with her. But she walked into there. She was the first one there. We weren't expecting for her to be there. Even her grandson, which is Brother Joel right here, didn't even know that she was going to be there. But it surprised all of them because that was the first time in 2 years that she had gone to church. So I believe whatever God did that just said, you know what, whatever this brother preached in my house, I'm going to church the next day. And so I just thank God for that. So y'all remember Sister Nicolasa in prayer. She's very a precious sister and really encouraged us. That day after we preached there at the church, this young brother came up to us and he said that he was having trouble with his eyesight, and he's only about 14 years old. And we thought maybe, you know, it was just that he needs glasses or something like that. But apparently this young man, around when he was 2 years old, he almost died. He had a lot of seizures, and there was a point where the parents almost lost him, but the Lord took him out of that. But he's been having problems with his vision, so we prayed for the brother, the young brother. Well, we gave him prayer cloths as well. They told us a couple of days later that he was there. His dad had a little splinter in his hand, and so he was there trying to help his dad take the splinter out of his hand. And so his dad couldn't even see the splinter, but the boy was looking at the splinter himself. He said, "Dad, I see it right there." And he said that he couldn't see that. He wasn't capable of even seeing anything like that. His dad couldn't see the splinter, but he could see it. He helped him take it out. So I believe God's doing something in that young boy's vision. Y'all just continue to remember him in prayer. Amen. That God would just fully restore his vision. We know that God can. Now, these are some of the food that we used at the youth camp. These are bags of beans, and that some of you all helped pay for. This is one of our brothers, the brothers that we work with there, minister brother. This is his son. This is some of the beans. So what they did is some of the brothers from another part of region of Honduras, they took care of the beans. Another brother took care of the beef. Another, so they all just pitched in, you see, to bring it all at the youth camp. And so there's some of the sisters. This is Brother Eric's mom, Sister Nidia, and she's there helping prepare some of that meat in her kitchen. There's some of the meat right there. That's pork, beef. Flour and some toilet paper there at the top that was going to be used. There's some of that right there. What is this, sweetheart? Okay, this is part of the meat. Okay. I got to have my help meat. To help me with this meat here. Amen. This is some of the toilet paper and some of the things that were going to be used there at the camp. This is flour, right?
Amen.
See her? And rice. And there it is at the camp. And there's some of it being cooked. And here's some of the sisters cooking. This is Brother Eric. He's carrying some bananas or plantains.
Yep.
Yeah. We had a little joke with him because we were calling him Arthur. Arthur, the little cartoon character. This is the sweater. And that was a joke we had going on with them. Actually, Zoe came up with that. This is a sister. She's using I believe they had a little generator out there, and so she needed to blend something on the blender. So that's what she's doing right there. And then here's, I think this is a video. You can get an idea of them serving some of the plates that they would serve. Yes. How many meals, sweetheart? Served
per day.
Oh, three times a day. There was three meals served three times a day. There was about 275, 280 campers that went. But that's just for kids, and that doesn't count the adults that were there, that they ate two to three times a day as well. And so there was actually more that, because we were just counting just for the kids, but even adults were able to eat as well. And so we just thank God, you know, what, $3,000 goes a long way in those places. You see, for 4 days, 4 days of camp, or three days of camp. All right. And here's some of the sisters already have some of the plates served. Ready, they would just serve them as they know that the service is about to end. They'll have them ready served so that the kids can just go up there and start grabbing yeah. plates. Here's some of the plates. Everything that they eat is always has a tortilla to go with it. And did somebody say something? Yeah, amen. Especially if they're corn tortillas. Yeah, this is a fryer, right? Yeah, and so that they use that. I think this is what the brother Geraldo, he has a restaurant there in the city, and so he brought some of his equipment from his restaurant, and he goes to Brother Eric's church, and so he helped with that cooking lot. I'm gonna tell you what, Brother Geraldo. You talking about some chicken now. There was one day. There was one day where he cooked some chicken. Let me tell you, that was some of the best chicken I've ever had. I don't know how he seasoned it or what, but, man, Popeyes, KFC, none of them. Churches ain't got nothing on what this brother's chicken was. This chicken was good. It was some good chicken. I wish we had a picture of Brother Gerardo. Brother Jewel would probably want to stay in Honduras if he tried that chicken. That's some of the food prep there. There's some of the sisters prepping. Grating some cheese, right? Right, sweetheart? And then there's some of them cutting some vegetables. Now, while we were there, Christine, before we left, we bought some equipment on Amazon to help them cut things faster. And so when we got there and we showed them that, the sisters were about to dance for before the Lord. When they saw that there was like chopping onions and tomatoes so fast. So we ended up getting another one. Another sister, Brother Eric's mom, had something similar like that already. And they took that there to also help speed things up. We also got them while we were there some juicers to help juice, because they would make lemonade for the kids, and they were sitting there hand squeezing all the lemons in this big old I don't know how many gallons bucket. And but so we got them some of that with that money as well, some of the funds that you all had given as well, and it helped them. There's Brother Gerardo right there, the brother that has the restaurant. He's probably there cooking that chicken right there. All right. Now, I wanted to show you all this picture that we had. There was two or three days where we had to rent a vehicle. And renting a vehicle over there isn't like renting a vehicle here. You know, when you rent a vehicle here, you get either the previous year model of something or maybe the latest year model. Not there. You get about 15 years earlier. You're going to drive a 2008 to 2010, and you're going to drive it with all the lights on the dashboard, all lit up. But as long as it runs, that's a rented vehicle. That's a rented vehicle. As long as it runs, as long as it breaks. So we had to do that about two or three times, and I think it was a 2010 Ford Escape that we were riding. But that's just normal for them, yeah, sure. You know. That's their. I think this is another video here. This is Christine helping wash dishes, yeah. Sometimes they would run out of dishes to serve the kids, yeah. So the sisters, they had to have a specific station to wash dishes constantly. And so Christine was there helping with that. And there, here's some of the drinks being served with more meals. And all right. So that is that. Now, let me all tell you these things. Those brothers and those sisters down there, they really, really believe in the power of prayer cloths.
Right.
They believe that. So when we take them prayer cloths, they really believe that. And 2 years ago, when we had went to Honduras, and I had ministered in a specific place called San Lorenzo, which we were at this time again this year under the tent. That's where they had the ministers' meetings. The brother there who's in charge of the church, because their pastor is sick right now and everything. And Brother Joel told me, he said, "Brother Luis, do you remember when you gave prayer cloths here 2 years ago?" He said, "I want to tell you what happened." And so he gave me one of the testimonies. It was a sister, a young sister, a single mom who had gotten a prayer cloth. I don't know what she had, but she was unable to move. Like she couldn't get up and walk properly. She was having trouble with mobility, and she had to take care of her little child. So she was having trouble even holding him and things like that. Well, they went to pray for her at the church, and they told her, and they gave her a prayer cloth. And that sister recovered completely after that. She was able to help raise her little kid, and he said that she recovered miraculously, and she's moving around now like normal. So we just thank God for that. Amen. And when I give them prayer cloths, I specifically tell them, it's what we tell them, what we tell you all here. You know, the power is not in the prayer cloth. Amen. Right. First of all, it's scriptural. They took in the book of Acts from Paul, his cloths and his handkerchiefs that he had that he would wipe his sweat off. Because he couldn't stop and pray for everybody, so people with so much faith would just grab whatever they could from him, and they would receive. The Bible says that they received healing, and demons were cast out of people. Right. So Paul didn't do that. Amen. Neither did the prayer cloth. It was the faith of the people that God was in that man. You see, and that if God could heal someone by him laying hands upon the people, then I believe that even his prayer cloth, amen, or was able to do the miracle for me. And it was faith in God. And so many of the prayer cloths, many of them that we took, this time around, we took a Ziploc bag full of them. All of them are gone. All of them are gone. And when we were there in Alto Pino, walking the 15-minute route there to the church there, the night before when I had preached at the sister's house, there was a Pentecostal pastor that was there. And he had taken some of his congregation to the service. Well, we gave him prayer cloths as well. He said that a couple of days later, his wife started having a pain on her side, one of the nights, and it was really, really bad. That it was actually he was worried about it, and they thought that they had to take her to the hospital. He did not know what it was. He remembered that we had gotten the prayer cloth. And so he took the prayer cloth. He said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, put it on the sister, on his wife." She just went to sleep. And the day after, that pain was completely gone. Was completely gone. And so maybe that will help him, you know, to draw, you know, maybe even know more about this message, you see. That God still heals. The last one that I thought, and then with this we'll finish, but the brother there in San Lorenzo, the one that told me about the sister that could not move, he said that there was a 18-year-old boy who had to have dialysis. So his kidneys were shutting down, were really, really bad. 18 years old. Imagine that. And he asked for prayer, and they went to pray for him. And so Brother Joel gave him a prayer cloth, one of the prayer cloths that we had given him there 2 years before. He said that the boy, this is what he tells me now, you know, that's is what he told me. He said the boy would put it on his side, on his, and he said that prayer cloth would just stick to him. And I don't know how that happened, but God's the one who does it. He said that thing it was hard for him to remove that prayer cloth. So what he told that to Brother Joel, and so Brother Joel said, just leave it on there. He said, God is doing something. Amen. Leave it on there. So he left it on there, slept with it, everything. And he went to have the appointment to start the dialysis. But when he got to the appointment to start the dialysis, the doctors couldn't even start because they said, young man, something is going on here. Your kidneys look fine. I don't know if we made a mistake or what. I don't know what's going on, but the boy didn't end up having to have dialysis. I believe God gave him new kidneys. That's what I believe. And he, to this day, this boy is fine, and they're at the church. So God's still God. Amen. And he said, afterwards, after the Lord healed him, he said, now that prayer cloth wouldn't stick to him anymore. He said the prayer cloth wouldn't stick to him anymore. So Brother Joel told him, he said, just keep the prayer cloth for other times. You see, you might need it again. So he from as far as I know, he still has the prayer cloth. Those were things that were prayer cloths given out 2 years before, right? And I didn't know anything about these things until this trip. So who knows, Lord? We might be expecting new miracles and stuff, you know, on our next trip from these prayer cloths that we gave out, because we gave a lot. So God, still God, amen. And if he can do it for them, he can do it for you. Amen. And so God, he's still in the healing business. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have the musicians come, and let's just sing something before we leave. Let's just bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, once again, Father, because you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord Jesus. Father, we know, Lord, that there is power, Father God, in the blood, Lord. There is power not just, Lord, to save our souls, but also to heal the body, Lord Jesus. Because, Father, you paid the price, Father, not just for the healing of our soul, but also for the healing of our bodies, Lord. And so, Father, you want us to be in good health, Lord. I would so want you to be in good health, Father, and to prosper in all things, as Paul said. And so, Lord, that's your desire, Father. But sometimes, Lord Jesus, we may not receive the answer right away. But, Lord God, you always give it to us on time and in your time. So we ask you, Lord God, that as we want to take courage, Father, in this coming year, Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to grab onto the reins of your word even stronger, Lord, so that, Father God, you could lead us, Lord. And we have confidence in you, Lord. Knowing, Father, that you've brought us this far, and you can bring us, Father, the rest of the way. Lord, we love you, and we just commit all our brothers and sisters there in Honduras in your hands, all the believers here, Father, in Georgia, and all around the world, Lord God, the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord. There are needy people, Lord, but, Father, you're a strong God. And so we just commit these things into your hand. We thank you for your word, and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing a verse or two of this before we leave.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Shine on. Need a prayer.
Beautiful star.
Star still guiding us? Amen. He is the star. He's the North Star. Amen. And he doesn't change. Praise the Lord Jesus. All hearts and minds clear. Brother Wade, anything? Yeah. So remember, there's no service Sunday. And yes, and Brother Wednesday, Brother Bob will be ministering for us next Wednesday. And you all just have a happy, Merry Christmas. Amen. Enjoy your time with your families. Be careful and stay warm. And we'll see you all here in a few days. Praise the Lord. Continue to remember one another in prayer. And just continue to remember Brother Dale in prayer. Amen. And the family as well. Amen. So as we're being dismissed, let's just sing Take Up Your Cross. Key of F. Amen.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus.
You may be dismissed.
Take up your cross.